we suited up?
Yep. Could you just do my hazmat suit up at the back?
Okay.
For me?
Okay.
It's a tight little number.
Yeah. Need some tape around these rubber gloves as well.
Hang on. There we go.
That's pretty
Oh,
well
sorry.
Solid.
Not over the mouth. Sorry. Okay. Why are we in Adam's basement again?
We're investigating, uncovering the past.
Okay. We're clearing it out for you, aren't we?
Well, also, maybe, just maybe, there's some old Doctor Who episodes down here that were lost years and years ago.
That you just happened to acquire?
Maybe.
So not this copy of Time Lash, then?
Oh, that can go.
Okay, read them to a recycling bin.
How did that not get junked?
Well, no one would take it in the recycling, I guess, otherwise.
There's a copy of Adamant here. I don't suppose... No? Okay, I'll junk that.
Previous life.
Old Avengers? Marvel? I don't know.
No. Oh, look, it's his Transformer army from the 80s. Ooh. Ooh, it's in mint condition.
Yeah. Nah, not way after. Is that a body? Oh, yeah, I forgot I left that there.
What's that behind the cloning tanks?
I don't know. It's metal.
Here, let's wipe the dust off a bit.
What is it?
Is it moving?
Could be.
Oh, I hope that's a trick of the light.
Ooh. Yes. There. 10th planet. Part 3.
Okay.
Oh. Damn it.
So close.
I'm going home. Welcome, one and all, to this in a long, 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 long line.
So very long.
Of Staggering Stories podcast.
Male dominated.
Yes. It is just the gentleman today.
Well, us four anyway.
Yeah. What are we? Staggering Stories podcast number...
494.
I'm Jay.
I'm Adam.
I'm Asterman.
And I am Millie Keith.
Dead again.
Yeah, well, she's rather indisposed at the moment.
Please don't give any details.
I won't give you any details, don't worry. She'll lynch me if I gave you details.
She might be editing. Yeah. You might be cut out altogether if you're careful.
Story of my life.
Has she reached the International Space Station yet?
Anyway, without further ado, let us launch into the news with El Presidente! Woohoo!
Firefly, potential animated series in the works.
Ooh.
After a few weeks of teasing something big, we finally have news of what Nathan Fillion and crew have planned, an animated Firefly TV series.
Ooh.
All of the original cast are on board, save for the somewhat deceased Ron Glass, whose character of Shepherd Book will be recast.
We'll let him off.
The series will be set in the 8 months between the end of the original series and the film Serenity, meaning all of the regular characters can return without any plot contrivances. This is all great news. They have Joss Whedon's blessing, not that they need it, and he won't be directly involved anyway. The rights holders, 20th Century Studios / Disney, reportedly got excited. They have a pair of showrunners in the married couple of Mark Guggenheim of DC's Arrow and Flash, and Tara Butters from Agent Carter and Dollhouse, and an animation company, Shadow Machine. What they don't currently have is an outlet interested in buying the series for broadcast or streaming. They're calling upon Browncoats to express their interest in an effort to persuade someone to pick the animated series up. Until then, this sadly remains in production hell and may never happen.
Oh, I didn't know that bit. I didn't know that bit.
They sounded very gung-ho about it, and I hope they do get the backing they need.
Yeah.
You would think that if 20th Century and Disney have the rights, they would be the first option for the streaming.
Yeah, why are they not picking up the bill and making it for Disney Plus or whatever? I don't know. Well, we know how Disney are.
Yeah.
They're a bit reluctant to buy anything nowadays. They're trying to get out of the streaming era, aren't they?
Things haven't gone as well as they had hoped.
No. Disney. So we'll see, hopefully.
It leaves an option open to Netflix, because Netflix in the past have quite happily shown Prodigy.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, but they also let it die afterwards as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And although it's a narrow 8-month window, I'm liking the fact that it's set between the series and...
Yeah, you can have everyone.
Yeah. Everyone, yeah. I did wonder if they would have Shepherd Book in it or not.
Yeah.
Because you could easily write him out. He could have left at any point.
Yeah, well...
Before the film.
Yeah, he was... He had have left by the film.
So he could have left soon after the series and explain why he's not there. Maybe he won't be in it too much. I don't know. It's a big made. But the concept art looks good. And
Saw that. It looks very, very nice.
Yeah, apparently the first episode is scripted, the new pilot.
This is another thing that concerned me with Buffy, which we're going to be coming on to in a minute.
The very next story.
Yeah, is whatever you think of Mr. Whedon, he did have a distinctive writing style.
Yes.
That permeated amongst the writing room. So
Firefly in general have a very distinct voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will capture that quite
I hope that's mean. I hope they do. That's my one small concern is will they be able to get Whedon speak or verse speak?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on who the executive producers are going to be, whether the cast themselves are going to be EPs, because they would then be able to give a lot of input into that.
Yeah.
Well, these two showrunners, the married showrunners, they got together because of Firefly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they are big Firefly fans.
Yeah, yeah. So you need some fans in there. Really.
Yeah. And so I haven't seen any Arrow or Flash, but I have seen Agent Carter and Dollhouse.
Mm. Fingers crossed. Great.
Yep. Buffy, Hulu's revival. Cancelled. The news is worse for the Buffy revival, as Hulu has cancelled the proposed series after viewing the pilots shot last year. Buffy Vampire Slayer, New Sunnydale, was set to star Skellington Crew's actress Ryan Keira Armstrong and Sarah Michelle Gellar returning as Buffy, likely fulfilling the role of the Watcher. Watcher. I'm having trouble with my teeth.
The Washer?
The Washer. Yeah. Give it a good scrub.
She's a scrubber, so he's
Gellar, who was acting as executive producer, said of this, "I am really sad to have to share this, but I wanted you all to hear it from me. Unfortunately, Hulu has decided not to move forward with Buffy New Sunnydale." She later on went on to blame an Hulu executive. "We have an executive on our show who's not only not a fan of the original, but was proud to constantly remind us that he had never seen the entirety of the series and how it wasn't for him." So that tells you the uphill battle we had been fighting since day one. When your executive is literally proud to tell you that he didn't even watch it. Variety claimed it has sources that say the situation was simpler. Sadly, the pilot just wasn't good, and Hulu wasn't prepared to authorise costly reshoots that might or might not sufficiently improve it. Apparently, Buffy herself was barely in it, appearing towards the end. Who knows how true any of this is right now? But the outcome is certain.
The outcome is certain.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, cancelled. I've been hearing various reports about this one. It's the fact that they're saying it also comes across too young.
Yeah. Well, that's a hard one to complain about, because Buffy is meant to be about kids in high school.
Yeah. Armstrong herself has just turned 16.
Right.
Also, I think they were saying that the allegory that was given, that if it's like a building, the foundations of this was unstable.
Okay.
But surely you would know that by reading the script and going into it, you would have shored it up. That would have been one of the first things that needed correcting.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't quite know what you've got until you've got it in the can. Something can read great on the page, but once you produce it, doesn't quite fit together, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Likewise, things that don't seem quite as good on the page can become amazing on screen. But
I personally, I don't think there's going to be a Buffy reboot.
Well, no, not this one.
Well, it's the fact that it took a lot of time to get Sarah Michelle Gellar on board as well.
Yeah, she wasn't involved in that Slayers thing for Audible, was she?
No, I think wanting to distance herself
yes.
from the show.
Because she wasn't acting at all for a while, was she?
She's just started again now because, plug, she's in Ready or Not 2, which I...
Oh, right. Okay.
Which looks fantastic. The Ready or Not 1 was a great gory laugh.
Right. I remember her doing some voice acting for Robot Chicken with Adult Swim a couple of times.
I mean, she's done a few guest bits because she was all in the final episode of Big Bang.
Okay. As herself.
As herself, yeah. But watch this space.
Yeah. I think I have heard that the draft pilot script is out there somewhere.
She has advised not reading it or to ignore it.
Sorry, Sarah.
If it's not going to get made, at least let the fans read what it could have been.
Yeah.
Here's what you could have won.
I'm not sure if Buffy would get me involved in that sort of series again. I think the first time round had a big impact. I loved that, and I loved Angel. I don't know if I want to go through all that again.
This is a tricky one. Yeah. Whereas Firefly, I would love to see more Firefly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Buffy does feel of its time, and it's done. It's there. If you want to watch it again, you can.
Yeah.
But do we need a new version of it? I'm not sure we do.
No, because it still has a lot of rewatchability, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Got it on DVD.
Not Blu-ray?
No. Apparently the Blu-ray is terrible.
Yeah, don't go for the Blu-ray.
Okay, we'll be doing that then. I know with the videos, show my age there, with the videos for Series 7, a lot of them were in the wrong order.
Yeah.
So I was watching them not understanding what the previously meant. Thinking, if I put the wrong cassette tape in the machine?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah.
Actually, would it make more sense to do the Nicholas Brendan one?
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, next.
Right. Nicholas Brendan, dead.
Yeah.
Yes. Nicholas Brendan Schultz, a.k.a. just Nicholas Brendan, has summoned his last musical demon, dropping dead at 54. His death was announced days after the cancellation of the Buffy revival. He is best known for playing Xander Harris for the complete run of the original Buffy series. Mm-hmm. Since then, he had a sadly troubled life, finding himself arrested several times for actions driven by drink, drugs and mental health issues. In more recent years, he suffered spinal problems and in 2023 a heart attack due to a congenital defect. Several of the Buffy cast took to social media to pay tribute to their friend, such as Allison Hannigan. "My sweet Nikki, thank you for all the years of laughter, love and Dodgers." Does she mean Jammy
the
Dodgers?
LA Dodgers.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
"I will think of you every time I see a rocking chair. I love you, R.I.P. Brendan died of natural causes in his sleep just over a year after fellow Buffy star Michelle Trachtenberg.
Trachtenberg, I think.
Yeah. Has it been a year since?
Yeah, I think it was February last year, so.
I had heard
seemed
about...
longer.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I had heard about his troubles. Yeah. Leaving
very
the show,
public, and he did speak about it publicly as well.
He was on the wagon again, on a road to recovery.
I think so.
Again, it's happened a couple of times, but certainly with alcohol and drugs, you're never cured. You're always recovering.
Yeah.
No, it does take a toll, particularly if you've got issues with your heart as well. So.
Yeah. When I heard he died in his sleep, and that, of course. How can that be? He must be, 30 or something?
Yeah.
I sort of think of him as being in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
He's 54, which makes sense. He's a bit older than me, but
And, of course, we also did a spell in, Criminal Minds, I think, if I remember rightly.
I think that's right,
Cameron would be able to correct me.
Okay. Very sad.
Yeah.
Blame Joss Whedon.
Why not?
Yeah. Paul Cornell.
Ooh.
Salsa Country comic coming to TV.
Tongue twister there.
Maybe. Paul Douglas Cornell, one-time writer for Doctor Who, is about to have one of his comic book series transplanted to the small screen, namely Salsa Country. This series is about the Hispanic governor of New Mexico, now running for US presidency, who believes that she's been abducted by aliens one night and embarks on a mission to get to the bottom of the mystery. Producer Alberto Lopez explained that it may take a while. "We're thrilled to have Paul Cornell already at work on the first episode, giving us a strong creative foundation from the outset. From there, the plan is to spend the year writing, developing and casting the first season, so that we're in a strong position to move into production toward the end of the year." But, of course, as ever, this series may or may not end up getting made.
So, do we know who?
We don't know whereabouts.
It
feels like this is another speculative one where production companies trying to get it made and want to find somebody who will buy it.
They'll do
much like the Firefly.
Yeah, they'll do a pilot and then shop it around.
Yeah, or just get it developed enough where they've got concept art, they've got the Bible, the first episode, a perspective cast.
I'm familiar with the comic at all. Never heard of it.
I've read a couple of issues. I think it was about 10, 15 years ago it first came out. Yeah. It lasted for about 14 episodes on DC's Vertigo label, I think. And then a few years ago got picked up again for another 6-issue run with IDW, who effectively finished the story. It didn't get finished in its original run.
Okay.
I read the first issue or two back in the day, I think. I can't remember anything about it.
Okay, so it sounds like this is probably going to be something like a single season or whatever, or just a mini-series, something maybe.
It depends what his original plans for it were.
Yeah. I think it was abbreviated, but I'm sure there are plans there for 2 or 3 seasons, probably. Yeah. 21-odd comics, I think, and all. Got 14, got 6, and then you've got a finale special, I think. So, yeah, we'll see, but it's been a long time since Cornell's had anything like this made. There was back around the time that Being Human was created. They did a series of one-off pilots, didn't they, on BBC?
Yeah. Well, Being Human was one of them.
It was, and Cornell had a hospital-based...
I think so,
which didn't get made beyond the pilot.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, good luck to him. Good luck to him.
Yeah, it could be good.
Stranger Things! Complete series coming to disc.
Ooh.
One series that definitely did get made is Stranger Things. It concluded a few months ago after 5 seasons over about 10 years. Given Netflix's dysfunction, it didn't get a full physical release until now. 25 discs of Blu-ray, either 4K or good old HD, can be had for $145 or at the cheaper price of $135, respectively. There's also deluxe versions with patches, posters, art cards, and a 148-page art book for, can you guess?
$2,000.
Almost. 200 smackaroos for the 4K, or £180 for the HD.
180. Oh,
thank goodness I don't have a Blu-ray player.
The release date will be the 27th of July from Arrow Video, a British-based boutique Blu-ray label.
I might just rewatch it on Netflix.
I have pre-ordered the 4K, but not the deluxe version.
It's unusual for Blu-ray to release anything. Not Blu-ray, Netflix.
Yeah,
I was just thinking anything.
Occasionally, The Crown got a release.
Did it?
At least the first few seasons got a release. I've got some of those on the DVD. Yeah, but not much of their stuff gets released.
No.
In this case, obviously somebody's come to them, Arrow Video, and said, can we have it to release? And they've said, yes.
And there are some really hardcore fans with Stranger Things, I think.
I mean, I enjoyed Stranger Things. It was good. It was entertaining. I loved every minute of it, but I'm not sure I loved £145 worth of it.
Well, for 4K discs, that's £5.80 a disc.
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure 4K is not too bad.
I am not denying that, but it's when it's all lumped together with the £145 in front of it.
We have got the new series coming out soon, haven't we? The animated.
Animated coming out. So when you buy it, you'll tell us what it is and we'll come around and watch it.
I've only got the regular. I haven't got the deluxe. I'm not paying £200 for an art book and a few art cards and patches.
Yeah. Any addendums?
Yeah, no Doctor Who news this time.
No, that's weird.
Music's first on the list.
No.
Must be something.
It's got to be some Doctor Who news.
Yeah, it's a very quiet time.
Is there anything you may have forgotten, Adam,
in the
2 weeks that we've last sat here and done that? Has there been any event almost 2 weeks ago now, so we can hardly call it news?
Have you stored it in your mental archive?
Oh, let's have a look.
His mind palace.
Something about...
Did you leave it in black and white, perhaps, at the back?
Come on.
Old film something.
Canister.
Oh, yes. Ah, they found a couple of canisters.
That's it. Yes.
A couple of film canisters.
Yeah.
Good for them. Dalek Master Plan.
Yes, I can't believe I entirely forgot to put this in the news. But to be fair, it has been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It came out just after we did the last podcast. Well, it feels like very old news.
We did the podcast on the Monday and the news broke on the Tuesday.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's like Carrie Fisher all over again.
Well, I'm going to say I'm incredibly excited
to have the
master plan. I want this as one of the top ones to be recovered. And it was also one of the ones least likely to ever be found.
That's the exciting bit, really. I know.
And finding it, they've made the discovery there's an entire middle copy that these potentially are, that they record a proof on transmission and use that proof. View it, and if it's workable, they're made copies to sell abroad from it. So there's an entire extra copy of each story that we're unaware of.
Apparently, a couple of ones had been returned before, were these prints, whatever they were called, but nobody had really put two and two together.
Yeah.
It turns out that the duplication houses kept the original negatives
in their library.
In their libraries, which weren't given back to the BBC, so they could be out there.
The entire
whole different set of copies we didn't know existed. So we've been going off to these foreign countries.
Yeah.
And they were probably only in London.
Just round the corner.
How many of them still exist, who knows, but there is another opportunity to find them. Yeah. So, who knows? Feast of Stephen may yet turn up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? That would just be so good.
If I remember rightly, one of them is the first episode.
And the third.
So we have
Three.
We have Nicholas Courtney in an un-Brigadier role.
His first appearance in Doctor Who.
We don't have Web of Fear first appearance as the Brigadier, but we now have his first appearance ever in Doctor Who.
Of course, we believe that does exist, that one.
Yeah, exactly. It was just lost last minute for the second time.
But some other collector got in there and grabbed it. Probably want a lot of money for it or something. But maybe there's a second copy out there somewhere and we could undermine whoever's trying to...
Wouldn't it be funny if they just uncovered a full library of everything that was missing and it was there all the time?
I'm just excited.
Just got to
get fast enough spacecraft.
Yeah. Plenty of those in Dalek Master Plan.
Yeah.
And this is coming out, it's like Easter weekend, is it? Coming out on iPlayer.
Is it, 4th of April, I think. So I'll be glued to that.
I don't currently have a TV license, so I can't technically watch it. So come around somebody else's house.
Come around. There'll be
You've got the big
balls.
TV. I'll bring the rum. You bring the cheesy balls. And Adam, you bring the Daleks.
Yeah, we can watch all three of the first episodes.
Yes. That's it. Back to back.
Yeah.
And then off for telly snaps.
I thought there weren't any telly snaps for...
No, they've been compiled, shall we say, from other images. But this is what's really nice, is that particularly with episode one, there are a lot of characters that there are no photos of. So there's no images of, so they would just sort of made them up for the telly snaps. But now... I finally seen an image of two characters that appear in this episode that are running the control room with the sleek-headed guy, shall we say. But these two are in the talkie roles, but they never had a picture or a telly snap. So there we go. Finally.
Very exciting, But we're still missing, 7 out of 12?
We are. It's the last two I really want to see, but that's the only way this could have been better, really. But just to have any turn up from this story is an eye-opener. Yeah. Plus, it's Daleks.
It's Daleks.
Any more addendums?
I don't think so.
That was worth all of them, really, wasn't it?
It was, I think. Yeah.
And that is the end of the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been going boldly forth where no student have been before. We have been continuing our marathon of Starfleet Academy.
Pause for music.
So it's episode 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
That's it. Unlike the Dalek Master Plan, we were able to do all of the last part of the season.
Not telesnaps, although.
No.
Maybe some of them might have been better that way.
I think that's uncalled for.
That's maybe. So previously on our Starfleet Academy review, I think I said I was a little bit underwhelmed. I think that were my words.
Yeah, I still am, I'm afraid.
I would agree, but I would say this particular run was stronger for me.
Okay.
I think episode 6, 9, and 10 in particular kept me gripped, whereas 7 and 8, I was checking my phone again. They were a bit sort of slow and character driven. but I felt that it had a lot more stakes in it, I think, with the recurring characters and continuing the main story arc.
Well, we had a sort of little mini arc, certainly three episodes worth dedicated to it, which was the fallout of...
Bracker, wasn't it?
Yeah, of Come, Let's Away, which was meant to be an away mission test for them to try to get an old starship up and running.
Yes.
That went very, very wrong.
It did. And I think when it goes very, very wrong, I'm interested. I think there was a lot of threat level, and it wasn't just character based. It's all been a hit and miss for me because it's been a bit slow in places where it's too character driven or it's too comedic. There's not much there for me in those episodes.
I think this is one of those things where we're missing things like 22 episode seasons now, because everything is compressed into within the US streaming networks, where we've often got just 10 episode seasons, and that's definitely what we're getting for the recent Star Treks. But that really isn't enough time to really get to know the characters and then also have a good amount of action in there as well. And I just like point the mouth guard there. So it does feel there's a little bit of up and down there, but I do appreciate that the first half of the season was mostly us trying to get to know each character and their backgrounds. Admittedly, we actually had to continue some of that for the back half as well, particularly with Darim in the seventh episode.
Oh, the prince thing.
Yes, because we hadn't really had too much about his family and also his reasons for being in the academy, and we got that set up. And I don't know how much we want to sort of jump ahead between the various episodes here.
Go for it. Whatever you
say what you see.
Okay. Come Let's Away was really the catalyst for the whole back half of the season, where we find out just how much of a threat Nussbracker and the Venari Rull are. And previously, in the other couple of times where we've seen him before, he's just kind of been sort of joking around a bit. If you really think about what he did here, the whole point of him doing what he did then was to use the cadets when they were on the Miyazaki in order to achieve this plan, which means he deliberately put essentially late teens, early 20-year-olds, children in harm's way and knew that they would be killed. I mean, this, if we go forward to the end, we can see that he's absolutely got no love for the Federation or Starfleet. He absolutely hates them. And you can see why he would be willing to sacrifice people like this, because he just doesn't care about them. He's got no love at all for the Federation or Starfleet.
It turns out all of that is based on his misconception of what happened when he was a child as well.
We're going back with him, certainly with our main character,
Caleb,
is they both share different reasons, but both share childhood trauma. One, we got Caleb, who has overcome or is overcoming his childhood trauma, while we have Bracker, who's reveling in it. It's his excuse for everything. Skipping ahead a lot, certainly the trial at the end there and the whole setup of that. My God, I'm thinking Trump. Throughout the whole of
there,
it.
There was a lot of allusion there to populism.
Which is Trump.
Yes.
Basically.
Well, of course, I mean, this was written really, a lot of it was written before he was president.
second block.
But yes, in the second term. But yeah, I mean, I think this is really more to populism rather than...
Either by accident or by design. I was struck by the similarities between the fantasy and the reality. Certainly the news bulletins that were going...
The whole thing with the Venari News Network, you could tell they were absolutely channeling the kind of propaganda
either
that
Fox
you have on
Truth
some
Social.
Particular... Yeah. I wasn't really going to try and name names.
I'm quite happily naming names. I'm definitely not going back to America.
But yes, there are
the
media outlets
years.
Like that that absolutely peddle in propaganda. Yes, this was certainly playing on those.
But unfortunately, the ending was quite trite in that he was shown to be a madman and everybody just quickly checked out.
Yeah.
Whereas real life doesn't work that way, apparently.
No, it was a very convenient wrap-up, wasn't it?
It was.
The end.
Yeah.
I think I was pleased to finally get somewhere with Caleb finding his mother, because I was invested in that right from the start of the show, and I just wanted to get to that bit to see how that had all developed.
I'm really hoping that going forward to the second season, which has already filmed, it's already wrapped, I'm hoping that we actually get a new story that isn't so Caleb focused.
Yeah.
Because the first season, it pretty much was this underlying arc that was all the way through.
That was the setup initially for the first season.
Yes.
And the first arc. I don't think the mother I can't remember her name, but
Anisha
and Bracca are in the second series.
No, they've actually confirmed to be not in the second series.
But they're saying if, unfortunately with everything, it's a big if, they get a third series, they've got stories where they can return to them.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like to also point out, certainly, I know I've leapt immediately to the final episode, but I would like to point out Holly Hunter, Titania Matsley, and Gambaccino.
Giamatti.
Thank you, Giamatti. I do apologise. Giamatti were three actors on certain scenes who were on the top of their game on that court scene. I was enrapt on some of the arguments they were postulating.
I mean, particularly with Holly Hunter and Paul Giamatti, even going back to the sixth episode, Come Let's Away, the scenes between just two of them in Nala's quarters, office, whatever it is, there was a lot of good acting that was being done in there. And a lot of what Holly Hunter was doing was just with expression.
Yeah.
Not even saying anything.
Well, and I have to go back to the trial scene where they, Titania Manzi and Holly Hunter are facing each other. Not a lot of words were said there. It was all down to expression and body language. And that was two people who are definitely on the top of their game, giving it their all.
Well, they obviously they're well-established actors.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the cadets quite match them, but it's not fair to really expect them to. Yeah.
No, I have problems with Sam's characterisation at first, and I felt better with her character once they effectively rebooted her and she toned down a bit.
I think obviously this was by design. Where you can't really have a character who's going to be that bubbly all the way through because it will get annoying.
It already had started to get annoying for me. And I think it had been done better with Robert Ricardo's Doctor in Voyager and Data in Next Gen, but this time it just felt a little too over the top.
Well, as you said, according to the character, she was 7 days old and was programmed as an archetypal teenager. Which is, you know, misunderstanding bubbly.
I don't know if they realised halfway through filming and thought, no, maybe we need to sort of temper her character a bit.
Well, if you noted, it was noticed by certain cadets were finding her too overpowering. There was certainly one cadet who pulled her to one. Do you have to say everything you see?
And I think also Sam's character said she was sort of annoying.
She now finds herself.
So I do think that this was designed right from the get-go.
I don't think it was a gear change by the script editor. I think it was.
I personally loved what they did with all that in the eighth episode, which was The Life of the Stars. It gave us more about the Doctor as well.
Yeah.
About what he's been going through.
Yeah.
Because we had seen right from the start that he was kind of pulling away distancing himself from Sam. And also, when the characters from Prodigy were mentioned, he was very
slammed
as well. And we find out that all of this is to do with the fact that he doesn't want to get close to people because of what happened the events back in which episode was it? Real life.
That was the Voyager.
Yes.
Voyager episode.
Yeah, because he pulls out, what is that?
The old original holo emitter. His portable emitter.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Now,
he'd like to be.
I've seen a lot of complaints. It's like, well, he's lived through the past, for the time the holo emitter was invented. Surely you'd have got it replaced. Sentimental reasons.
Yeah.
You hang on.
Can believe it with him because he's had that sort of character development.
This was the object that gave you independence. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to give that up.
Yeah, he was stuck in the med bay, wasn't he, originally?
It was he's a human facsimile. He's learned things. His program's expanded. It's not just up and down anymore. It's all. I can perfectly understand him keeping that for sentimental reasons.
Yeah. If I had a complaint about this holo character, or these two holo characters, I suppose, is that they should be much more powerful than they're made out to be.
Yeah.
There's no reason why Sam can't go into a firefight and just not get injured. She's made of light.
And in that first episode.
We did actually see that in one of the earlier episodes where they were doing that sort of kind of shoot 'em up game where they were basically shooting through Sam because she was just photonic.
Yeah.
But moments before that, she was clutching onto a rock screaming. She forgot that she was...
Yeah, she should be effectively vulnerable. Be able to pack heck of a punch because, you know, she's hard light hologram.
It depends.
She's not going
to get tired. I have to disagree because we saw in the Sam episode the...
Life of the Stars.
No.
The first one. I can't remember.
It's her name.
Episode, Series acclimation.
Thank you. Series acclimation meal. She's been there to acclimatise and study and be a human. So obviously she's been programmed in with those restrictions, i.e. in the middle of a firefight, hanging onto a rock and screaming.
Yeah. A shame, though. Being Jesse, if they do evolve that, in theory, she's more powerful than Data or anything.
In theory, but it depends what program limitations has been worked into her system.
Break your program. I mean,
we were starting to see some of that post-episode 8, with some of the things that she was doing in episodes 9 and 10.
As you saw in the episode with the away team aboard the ship.
Come that way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She got hit with a disruptor beam, a lethal-powered disruptor beam. Now, it didn't kill her, but you don't know what it did to the matrix, the power the power infusion into her system. It caused Fritz.
There was part of that. I mean, the initial damage was repaired, but, I mean, this goes back to episode 8, where it's the fact that she can't process it. She is going into this reset loop.
She's trying to process it, but doesn't have the life experience to help her process it.
Maybe that also explains another issue I had with the 6th episode coming its way. The Vulcan cadet from the war college got killed off. But he got stabbed, I think, didn't
he? No, he was shot right through.
But nobody tried to do first aid on him. They didn't try to beam him back to put him on suspend animation. They didn't try to heal him.
Yeah.
This is 31st century or something. Surely I can bring somebody back from that. They didn't even try.
I think there's a great big hole right the way through.
Yeah,
there's
they've got programmed little matter. To do. How's that a problem?
I think really by the time Jaden, who was the only medically training person there, didn't have the equipment to do anything like that. I'm not sure the bridge was in any fit state to find any medical kit. And by the time they would have beamed him back, he would have already been dead.
By about 10 minutes, maybe. He can bring somebody back.
I think maybe a little bit longer than that.
Oxygen starvation to the brain?
Well, we've seen people come back from worse. I'm sure we have.
Yeah.
But yeah, things like that. It just...
I think also I was a bit disappointed with it. Is it Jadeen, the Klingon character?
Jaden, yes.
Because at first I had to get used to the fact that everything about him is un-Klingon other than the prosthetics.
Yeah.
And if we hadn't have had sort of flashbacks to his family... It was just some guy that didn't want to do this, wouldn't do that, was scared of this, and everything about him was written un-Klingon. And then all of a sudden he was wearing a dress, and I found it a bit of a shock.
Oh, the scans.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no mention made of that. I did look at these last few episodes and think, has he always been wearing that? I'm not quite sure.
No, I went back and double-checked.
He was pretty much wearing the scant from episode 7 onwards.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember in the early episodes, him and there's another character, the Beta Z student, and they occasionally give each other long glances, you know, or hold their gaze longer than they should. And I remember thinking, will they, won't they? Are they setting
what,
some...
It was
Is it Kyle?
Kyle was the Ward College guy.
Yeah.
And he's the one who Jaden was going to go to Ibiza with.
Right. Yes.
That deliberately mangling of Ibiza there.
Although they did say Ibiza was my name. One of the characters, was it the British sounding guy, the prince? He said Ibiza, I think.
Yes.
Did I miss
And Lieutenant.
Yeah. As for Kyle, I mean, there was definitely a relationship going on between them.
Yeah.
And it is intentional here that Jaden is the first gay Klingon that we have seen on screen.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious as to if they had some kind of bust up or something towards the end, because Kyle was completely missing, as well as Ockham was completely missing as well, when Jaden was inviting people into House Craig.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
that's my main complaint with the character, in that everything good that potentially happened is happening off screen, because I didn't see them hook up. Not literally that moment.
It was there.
But yeah, so I feel like that was missed. Also,
there were absolutely signals going on between.
That's it. I picked up on those. I just assumed I did miss something. Mm. But I would like to see Jay's parents turn up at some point and sort of face that reality that your Klingon is very un-Klingon and everything, and he's now got a boyfriend.
I think with the sheer with the relationship that Jaden has with his parents, I don't think it's likely that they're going
to
show up.
Oh, I'd like him to win them over and just have that sort of character development, that drama. I think that would be quite a good episode.
That would happen in Next Gen. I'm not sure it would happen here.
No. But yeah, the whole series as a whole, I think it was 40% good. I really enjoyed it, but I think the rest of the time I was just a bit bored still.
I don't know what it is about. It's this and Discovery just don't really do much for me. Whereas Strange New Worlds, Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the characters in Strange New Worlds, but the characters in this and Discovery just leave me feeling cold. I don't know why.
I mean, this one in particular, it's set as a team drama. They're trying to do They're trying to do something different.
We've got a bunch of Wesley crushes here.
Yeah, exactly. Doctor Who had class.
But it isn't just that, because Discovery is much the same.
Yeah, Discovery had...
Well, I don't think that Discovery really knew where it was going for those first two seasons anyway.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Mm. And, I mean, it had a better idea once it got to the 32nd century.
Once it started doing its own thing.
Yes, once it started doing its own thing, it wasn't hemmed in by, okay, well, now we've got to try and make things work within the established timeline. I don't know whether this one... I don't know whether Academy would have worked like this in the TNG time. I don't think it would. I think this is... I think this is the only timeline where... point of time where it could actually work.
I think it was a point that Crumbly made, that Brackham is a too smaller adversary for the Federation. But for me, it demonstrates on how far the Federation has fallen. Mm. We're not talking the 24th century Federation.
No.
We're not even talking the 23rd century Federation. It's more like Archer's, the 21st. It's barely there.
And we get to see that visualized at the end of the 9th episode, where we pan back and we see essentially this red glow over the entirety of the Federation, and it is so much smaller than you would expect it to be now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're still only about 100 years post-Burn, and we've only really just gotten things working right now Discovery's back.
In the first part, you've got the Betazoid rejoining the Federation.
Then you also had Earth that had rejoined shortly after Discovery came back, because Discovery was instrumental in that. You also recently had Nivar rejoin as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's still almost in the infancy of getting back to...
We don't know what's happened. I don't think we have seen any Andorians, so we don't know what's happened to Andoria.
Mm.
We certainly don't know what's happened to Tella. No Tellarites that I remember seeing.
Well, Bracca is half Tellarite.
He's half or quarter, but...
Mm. So, I mean, I would assume that they were probably outside of the Federation territory at that point.
Yeah.
Interesting where they take it. Mm. If we just do this again for another year, we're just treading water at that point.
Yeah.
But how do they change things up enough in this very...
School-based environment.
Yeah, this very set environment. Okay, they've got the ship, they can go out and do stuff.
Mm.
Speaking of the ship.
Oh, yes.
Now, the Athena itself is a beautiful ship, except the fact that we very rarely get to see the whole beautiful ship. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I don't like about the newer series of Star Trek is that everything is a lot dimmer when we're seeing space views. We don't have, like, the bright Enterprises that we had before. Yeah. I mean, things are a little bit more difficult to see. But the other thing I want to know is that bridge crew that we were introduced to in the first episode, where did they go?
Yeah. It was I seem to remember a big thing was made of various actors and actresses.
Yeah, we were introduced to all of the bridge crew, and we never see them again.
No.
And even when it's the Athena's flying in space, when they were at the Come Let's Away, they had to have had a bridge crew that was flying the ship then. Mm. Shortly, when the cadets were pulled back there, why not recall a bridge crew and actually get a proper bridge crew to do things?
We've been watching the wrong characters.
Yeah.
Well... And then, again, in the ninth episode where they sort of disappear, I mean, they've dropped the cadets off on Beta Zed, but where is the bridge crew?
I think the entire ship was dropped off, or the entire crew was dropped off at Beta Zed to welcome them in. And by the time they found out,
the entire ship wasn't dropped off, because when the Venari Ral captured the Athena, it was the whole ship. It was the sort of circly bit and the cells and the atrium.
Yeah.
Which presumably, I mean, who knows where the star drive section is in there? It seems like every single thing has a star drive section.
Yeah, every bit's with walk. Actually, it was the whole crew that was dropped off, because it was just...
It was meant to be just the cadets.
No, it was the whole crew. It was mentioned in the dialogue, I'm sure
it was all the cadets being dropped off at Beta Zed. I remember that. I'm going to disagree with you in there and say it was
we shall agree to disagree.
Yes,
he said he's worried about this crew.
Agree disagreeably.
So we need at least one episode with that crew that we need to catch up with.
There was one of the members of the bridge crew who was like meant to be this person for doing various things with the cadets and stuff. And
really,
we never saw them again.
Off on a different ship, maybe. Maybe they got their own ship.
Yeah.
This whole crew. I don't know.
No, it was one of the things that...
They were dealing...
There's a brief, sort of a bit of a niggle about there.
They were dealing with the second year cadets.
Yes. It was nice to see Tilly back, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought she'd be in it a lot more.
Yeah, that's the impression that we were given when Academy was first announced.
But, she was transferring to that different...
We got a lot more of...
Reno.
Tignes Haro's Jet Reno there. Yeah. And, oh, my goodness.
She's really...
I love Jet Reno.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Lura Thok. I love Jet Reno. I love their interaction between them. But it's a shame that we didn't get more Lura Thok in this back half of the season.
Yeah.
But we made up for it with that sardonic wit that Jet Reno has, and it's absolutely wonderful.
I loved Jet Reno ever since she was repairing bits of Discovery
with
blueberry bubblegum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway. I don't suppose we know quite yet when the next series will turn up season.
One would sometime assume this year. It would probably be like either towards the end of the year or this time next year.
Yes.
I mean, it's already filmed, it's already in the can, so
Yeah, we're in a strange place with Star Trek. It's the 60th anniversary, as they make clear in the opening credits. They have their 60th logo with the Doctor Who theme.
Except without the the Protostar or the Cerritos.
Indeed. But there's not actually any Star Trek in production at all at the moment.
The things are going on behind the scenes at Paramount, Skydance, Warner Brothers.
I've seen rumours that there are talking about it, and the people at Paramount, or whoever they are now, are saying they are invested in Star Trek. They want to see more of it. But, I mean, as far as that goes for things like Academy or not, Alex Kurtzman, whose Secret Hideout has been producing everything. Yeah. I mean, his contract is up right now, so he's uncontracted with them right now. So whether he continues or not is anyone's guess.
Yep.
If he doesn't continue, whether the Academy continues or not is anyone's guess.
Unlikely. Presumably they've already struck the sets.
No, they haven't struck the sets yet. They haven't destroyed the sets yet.
That's an interesting point. The Academy sets are still standing.
So the Atrium was a massive build. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Massive expense.
The Enterprise sets are still standing.
Oh, okay. From Strange New Worlds.
From Strange New Worlds.
Because there is still talk of Year One, isn't there?
Yeah. Because coincidentally and interestingly, the away team starship, Come Let's Away.
Yeah, Miyazaki.
Thank you. Was actually the Enterprise Bridge, just redressed.
Now, didn't that have Event Horizon feels?
Yes. Yeah.
I can't be the only one that was thinking that, but just the corridors that were between it, it seemed very Event Horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. Expecting something to be in the ducting.
Yes.
Personally, as a summing up, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, virtually all the season. There was a few better and less good episodes, but nothing I would have called bad for me.
I just felt pretty indifferent about it. I found myself actually procrastinating a lot and doing things not to watch it, which is not a good sign.
I did, when it came to watching the second half of the series, I definitely did that, put it off to as far as I could, and then I watched the sixth episode and I thought, okay, that's a bit better, I'll stick with it. But yeah, not you being.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm very eager to sort of have the second season now.
Certainly for me, and I know I can't speak for her, which is not here, but it was a regular Friday night thing. Mm-hmm. I know it drops on Thursday, but we had a set of shows that we'd watch Friday night, and this was one of them. Not because we had to. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
There's some things I have watched for this podcast because I have to.
This pretty much falls into that camp for me, I'm afraid.
This wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we've kind of gotten shaken some of the annoying bits out of the characters right now. And
things like, I think I've swallowed my comm badge.
Goodness me. I don't like what they did with that particular cadet, because they picked on that particular cadet every single time. Yeah. And that was... No, I don't think that was right.
You only had her the first half of the season.
She was in Come Let's Away as well.
But yeah, because she was part of the background. She wasn't particularly focused or had lines like that.
No.
Yeah, like that one.
But I was actually very surprised that Darum really does puke glitter, and it was not something that we were sort of just imagining that Sam had said. That did actually happen, so I guess. I'm sure we also followed the saga of the Talaxian furfly right the way through as well.
Yeah. From the Dean.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, what Specialist Krebs is doing, I have no idea. He's not paying any attention to that fur fly at all. But yeah, anyway, I very much enjoyed it. So I think we're like 50-50 on this.
I think so. Yeah. As I said, it's a shame Cam's not here, because we would have beaten him.
You would.
Yes. Okay. Well, if anybody else has any thoughts or opinions to share about the back half of Starfleet Academy, or even the front half, please write to us at
show@staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo.
Well, talking of Daleks and Terry Nation, we've also been watching some classic Doctor Who, as classic as they come, from Series 1 in the Keys of Marinus.
Pause for music.
This has not been lost.
No.
Unfortunately. No, it's not that bad.
It's not the strongest story, but it whips past pretty quickly if you don't like an episode, you're past it before you know it.
Yeah. Six episodes, which is normally not a good sign.
Yeah. No. I would say that this could quite easily, with very little tweaking, be done today.
Should it be done today, though? I don't know.
We have had stories like this with The Key to Time. That was over an entire season. This is just over a story.
And we've had episodes like this on Big Finish,
yeah,
where they have done the individual story. They don't link up, but they've done the individual stories on the disc, four episodes a disc, which I think we reviewed a little while back.
Yeah, it's quite an ambitious one, particularly for very early in the run. Story five.
Different sets in every episode. This was probably
an expensive one to do because they had different sets for everything except the first and last episodes.
Well, on the DVD, you got Ray Cusick, who designed this. Obviously, he designed the Daleks, most famously, but he was designer for this one, and he was saying that they had no money. Because every episode was a whole new set of sets.
They've got to strike the set and build them.
That's why you had six partners in the first place. You didn't have that problem.
Exactly.
Just spread the cost.
So Terry Nation goes, "Hey, you see this?"
Now talking of Terry Nation, it has been mentioned before that he doesn't give much direction in the description within his scripts. So you've got Ray overworking on that. And he does sometimes get a little bit bored with his own stories. So he tends to chop and change. So this is the first of three outings. So you have Keys of Marinus, where you have, we'll do different keys in different settings.
Yeah.
Then you have The Chase, where he's struggling for a third Dalek story.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth Dalek story, he disappears after half a story and leaves it to Dennis Spooner to fill in the blanks. But essentially, it's a bit of a runaround, isn't it? And this is effectively a chase, except you're running after keys rather than trying to escape
just
something.
A little treasure hunt.
Do we have a favourite episode each from this story? I think mine would have to be episode 4, which is the Icy Tundra episode.
Okay.
Oh, I think rewatching it, I realised how fast paced it is. Yeah. You're literally jumping from scene to scene, and everything developed very quickly. There's even a suggestion that Barbara's going to get assaulted at one point.
That guy he does have a very kind of rapey feel to him.
Mr. Rapey, we should call him. Yeah. But and you know, it was still essentially a kid's show right at the start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, to have that in there. Also, there was a couple of recognisable actors towards the end. I don't know if Lady Painfort.
Was it Lady Painfort? I didn't recognise her. Okay.
Yeah, and
the Donald Pickering.
Donald Pickering, that was it.
Yeah, from Time of the Rani.
That was it. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were your favourite episodes of the story?
Oh, I don't know. I personally enjoyed them all.
I think that I would go for Sentence of Death, which was the one where Ian was accused of thing. That was, as you said, courtroom drama. And I thought that was very well executed out of all
Would you
of
say
them.
It was better executed than Starfleet Academy's finale?
Oh, no contest. No, for a product of its time, I would say that this was well done.
As I said, they are completely different beasts.
Yes.
They are. Yeah, you got the slightly ghosty one with the plants. Mm-hmm. You got the mystery with the big brains in the jar.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I've seen the reality.
Yeah,
of
I kept
and then murdering them all.
I
love that moment where Hartnell picks up that chipped old cup and goes, "Excellent! With machinery like this, I can probably fix the fault with the ship."
Yes. the only problem I had with that one is every time we had the scenes with the brain in the jar, I kept on thinking, "I'll bid 12,000 quatloos on the newcomer."
I've seen pictures of them. Were they in the 20th anniversary Radio Time special? I thought, wow, they look really good. They don't look too bad, but they look better in colour.
It's when she's smashing them apart on the
eyes. They could only film that scene once as well.
Got to get it right.
Well, true, most of it. Actually, I was quite surprised. The first episode, it seems to have about five cuts in it.
Yeah.
It does. There's lots of fading out, actually, throughout the first and the sixth episode, I noticed.
Yeah.
And I do like the early Hartnell, specifically for that first episode openers. You've got this one, like the Daleks is the classic, isn't it? And the the web planet where they're just wandering around discovering a complete alien world.
Yeah.
This one's lethal, isn't it? You've got like spiky, jagged rocks behind them, acid glass,
chunks of glass and acid sea. If I have a complaint with this, it's Altos.
Is that the old man?
No,
that was Arbiton.
The younger one that they picked, young bloke.
They're companion for the story. Mm.
For God's sake, what do you put some trousers on? You can see his underwear. It reminded me of...
A proud man.
Well, thank goodness he wasn't Scottish.
The thing is, it reminded me of Blackadder back and forth with Melchus, Commander Melchus of the Roman Empire. Right, yeah, and each time you saw him, the battle skirt got shorter and shorter.
It was that very sort of Superman silhouette, wasn't it? A cape and pants.
A tunic, cape and underwear.
Yeah, it was a weird outfit. But he had two outfits, of course, in the second episode, third, whenever he first turned
out. He put some furs on later on. No wonder he froze to death.
Got no strides on, man.
Yeah. I do like that cliffhanger where Barbara and Ian jump from the screaming jungle and all of a sudden they're just in like an icy tundra. I think that was a really effective cliffhanger.
Of course, it's all meant to be on one planet.
Yeah.
Which seems to stretch credibility in my mind. I suppose if you take the fact that every ocean is actually acid, then they can't.
I don't know if it was. I mean, there was some suggestion as to the acid sea being a defence barrier for the temple where the conscience was.
Yeah. I got the impression it was localised to the island somehow.
I hope it was. Otherwise, there's no drinking water anywhere.
Well, the island where the Mariners keep the keys.
Seems to be quite a small island with just that pyramid type thing.
It seemed to be localised to that island.
I think it wasn't just biomes, it was technology as well.
Yeah.
In the icy tundra where they melt the ice block with the key?
Yeah, courtroom drama was, it seemed a lot more modern. They had technology like little phones and whatever.
It's set up, the type is there because it's set up to be the key to be recovered eventually. That made sense to me. I mean is isolated to the island where the consciousness is, the acid.
Yeah.
That's the impression I got.
Defense barrier. Because that's where the source of the power is. The acid was isolated to that island.
I think the doctor did actually sort of wonder if this was a defense barrier.
That's what the implication. But I just wonder if it isn't just planet wide, which explain why these different cities so vastly different, like they can't easily get to each other.
I know it didn't come across quite as easily on the show, but certainly the Target novelization mentioned that each city was semi-isolated and had to build up their own justice and law once the consciousness had been removed.
I was kind of thinking about that myself, even though that I have not read the written word.
I would say that Terence Dix is great with his novelizations, because anything that doesn't work he tends to just tweak. So it all makes sense.
It may be a page or a paragraph, but you get a little bit extra hinting at...
and that's probably what was missing in this story, because I know what you mean. At one point it feels like this is all one planet and for some reason they can't travel, and they haven't got planes or boats, but they've got these sophisticated bracelets.
I've just reminded me something else. Whenever they twisted the bracelet, you got a distinctive sound, a popping sound. Reminded me of Rent-A-Ghost, when the ghosts used to disappear.
Pop off.
I'm sorry.
No pantomime horses here.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Yeah, the Murker story.
Also, if you're a fan of Biddy Fluffs, the first episode is full of me.
I picked up one of them in the Sentence of Death one.
This is interesting. Certainly in the later stories, his faculties were...
I know, but what I'm saying is it was
mentioned the Abbot of Ambrose, which was also played by William Hartnell. He didn't fluff once throughout any of the sentences. So one wonders how much...
You don't get the impression he's deliberate. He's literally messing up a line and then re-saying it properly.
Yeah, he says something like, yeah, I don't see why not. There's nothing, no danger about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's your first opening scene, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I know one, he was obviously vanished on holiday.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And they felt quite
the
strong.
The Screaming Jungle and Snows of Terror. I mean, he was completely absent for that one.
So. They were two of my favourites.
He still gets a credit, even though he doesn't, she doesn't appear.
Yeah.
I suppose at this point, they'd been filming about 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Solid. I can imagine he was pretty tired, being about 54 or something.
Yeah. And then I think Carol Ann Ford disappears for an episode or two of the next story, The Aztecs.
Okay.
And Barbara disappears in Censorized.
It was a real shame, actually, how they wrote Susan in this one.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because it was awful. Well, I mean, she was just like a whining, screaming child all the way through.
I get that a lot through seasons. I haven't watched a lot of these, obviously.
Yeah,
out of all of them, Susan's always struck me as the weakest character. Yeah. The way she's written.
Which is why she left, of course.
Yeah, oh yeah. No disrespect to the actress. Yeah. You perform what you're given.
Yeah, she was a bit crazy in Edge of Destruction.
Yeah.
But that makes sense because of the situation. This is like she's being typecast now. Yeah. The character is in this mold of being the
And there was some action in there which didn't make sense to her being afraid all the time. Like in the snowy episode, she's all afraid and stuff, but she's doing something like crossing this ice bridge by herself.
Yeah.
If someone is that afraid and terrified and everything all the time, why are they doing that? That doesn't make sense for the character.
I thought that, and then I thought, well, I suppose it makes sense as she's probably the lightest in weight.
It does for that, yes.
It doesn't support the rest of her characterisation at all, does it?
No. Hmm. Likewise, she goes back to the TARDIS the first episode on her own.
Mm. Yeah.
If she's that
terrified.
Really terrified, why didn't somebody go with her?
With her boots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And besides the Hartnell being on holiday, why did the Doctor go to the fourth key on his own? Why didn't he at least take somebody with him?
Yeah.
It's
only because of the logistics of the cast.
There were so many times in this story where Hartnell literally said, let's split up.
Yeah. don't do that.
No.
At the very least, go in pairs.
And as another thing I've noticed, so much of these Who stories, certainly to begin with, wouldn't happen if they'd listened to the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And this one, they're basically blackmailed into doing the entire task.
They say this guy's life, and then he threatens them to the point where all he does is lock them out their ship, but they're surrounded by acid and glass.
Yeah.
So they are going to die.
Yeah. Well, it has to put their miming skills to good use.
Good stage acting work there.
What do we think of the Vords?
I thought they'd be a lot more than this, because I've heard of Vords for the last 40
years. There's such a fan support and the mythology around them, and what I saw was these scuba diving suits, flip flops, and then one of them tripping over the set in episode 6.
It reminded me of Teletubbies in gimp outfits.
Yes.
Little aerial.
I'm not sure if they were written and set up to be an equivalent to the Daleks.
Terry Nation trying to get another Dalek going.
That's what I mean. But they had a life in the annuals, I think. Appeared a couple of times.
They did,
and
I think they did a Paul McGann Doom Collation audio.
They could have.
They probably work better on audio.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that William Russell is walking around in the Marco Polo outfit.
Yeah, the entire story.
That's the only thing that exists from that story now, is that outfit he's wearing. Keys of Marinus.
Yeah.
But it's one of those stories. It's probably not the strongest, but it passes quite quickly because you're not dwelling on anything.
Yeah, because, as I said earlier, each episode is got a setup, middle, and end. You've got to finish it by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So
and the recaps are very short as well.
Yeah.
Generally. Most of them are actually just refilmed, aren't they? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that last line.
At least one of them was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, the only time it dragged was actually that whole trial thing. I was just itching to get to the final episode with all the keys at that point. But it sort of held its own attention because suddenly the Doctor turns back up.
Yeah.
He even says, "I am that man to represent you."
What have you been doing for this past week, Doctor? Who knows?
The key was in the murder weapon all the time.
And then you have other situations where you've got in the second episode, the one with the fake reality.
Yeah.
that she sees. She appears to have been there for hours.
Yeah. She's just lounging on grapes in this lovely dress.
Yeah,
and
change her clothes and munch some grapes.
I don't know quite how the time worked there. Where, I mean, in that episode as well, was a particularly worst offender because it seemed to be like night, day, very, very quickly.
So Barbara disappears and then they end up in the same place she is, but time has passed. And at the end of the
minutes maybe behind her, but
she's been there for months. But the end of the next episode, talking of Susan's characterization, she bravely goes ahead with no one else, doesn't she? And then instantly screams at plants.
I know, yeah.
It's like that, just disappearing like that. That wouldn't be something Susan did at all. She'd be clinging on to someone going, I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's actually during this story, which I thought, if they'd known what was going to happen with the Doctor in 10th Planet or whatever, if they'd known, wouldn't it have been great if they'd killed Susan off and had her regenerate?
Oh, yeah.
Rather than writing out Caroline Ford, have her regenerate. Yeah. Obviously, they didn't know that. It didn't exist back then.
Yeah, that wasn't
part as a way to introduce the concept.
Yeah, that would have been good. Yeah,
because all this peril, she's always screaming. And maybe if she did actually die, and we saw her,
she'd be brave.
Which does infuriate me even more, considering what happened with Shooty's last episode, where we were
teased.
We were teased about Susan coming back, and then because of everything happening behind the scenes, we didn't get that.
Yeah. Sounds like no one's happy with that rewrite, are they?
Yeah.
Not even Shooty.
Yeah, sadly so. But yeah, it was, Terry Nation. I'm not sure he's the greatest writer in the world.
No. This is only one of two he wrote for Doctor Who, isn't it, that didn't have Daleks. It was this and the Android Invasion with Tom Baker's era. And that isn't the strongest of that era.
And
it's passable.
And up until this point, he was known as a comedy writer.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Because it was such a young show, he must have been writing this. Had the Daleks been out by that point? Maybe just about. But he presumably didn't want to bring them back immediately. He's thinking, what else can he do?
Yeah. And he would go on to be like a proper concept designer, wouldn't he, for shows? He'd do like Blake Seven, The Survivors.
Yeah.
And he'd write some successful episodes with them.
He learnt his craft, but certainly with Keys to Marinus and a couple of the Dalek ones, you can see him learning his craft.
Yeah. And they get bored of that. That doesn't work. Move on to this.
Genesis, this infamous title, is when he turned in the Dalek story that was going to be Genesis first. Mm. Barry Letts and Terence Dick said, yes, this is a wonderful episode. This is great. This is a beautiful story. But it's exactly the same as this story that you gave us last year.
Yeah.
And this story you gave us two years
ago. Yeah, you sold it to us twice previously. Yeah.
Can we have something new, please?
Yeah.
I think, anyway, it works quite well for what it is.
Yeah, I think one of the limitations of this is that it is designed and written to be seen 1 week apart.
So if you're going to
watch it, I would suggest you watch it over a week, one episode a night.
See, I did two episodes a night.
Yeah.
And that was about bearable.
Yeah, I did it in two blocks of three, which is fine.
I think it's surrounded by stronger stories, isn't it? You've got the Aztecs, which is quite good. You've obviously got the Daleks previously, and then Marco Polo, which a lot of people like.
Yeah, which obviously both historical as well.
Yeah.
In between two historicals, which is interesting. It's funny, it feels a bit like Doctor Who trying to do Crystal Maze.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. Yeah. We're off to the ice zone.
Yeah.
The Arctic zone.
Hadn't seen it before.
No, I don't think I have.
You've never watched it?
I've never seen it before.
Wow.
It was still in its cellophane from 2009 when I bought the DVD.
Goodness me.
It's been a few years since I'd seen this last.
You're lucky it's all been remastered then. It looks lovely, better than Transmission.
Probably.
If you have thoughts about The Keys of Marinus, or have watched it, listened to it, or even read it, please tell us at
show@staggeringstories.net.
Do we have any feedback?
We do have feedback.
Wait a sec.
He's looking at us.
Oh, he better not have feedback for us.
His hat cocked at an aggressive angle.
Is that a hat?
Well, or an octopus, we're not quite sure.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
Inky, Rinky and Dinky, Handles. Squirts a lot. Handles. Folding. Wacko, Yakko and Dot.
Sandy.
Folding and propped up against the radiator, Clara.
Yep.
Very orange. Various Terrence, nebulas and
Graham.
Nutmeckers.
Dave the Godzilla.
The army
mighty.
Yep. Army of Goats.
Oh, the Army of Goats.
Goofield Grogu. Saw a trailer for that.
What, Goofield Grogu?
Yeah, before Hail Mary. Picture Hail Mary, they had a trailer for The Mandalorian Grogu. Looks very good. But anyway.
Anyway, up.
So, we have one written bit of feedback.
One audio bit of feedback. Oh.
Shall I?
Go for it.
This one is from Andrew Scott.
Hello, Andrew Scott.
Dear Staggering Stories. Well, it turns out that here in Leicester, along with hiding kings in car parks, we have been the resting place of a couple of Doctor Who episodes.
Ooh.
Yeah. The Phoenix Theatre hosted a showing of them to young Peter Purvis, yes. And his reaction was an absolute delight.
Mm.
If it was any other story, they would have the makings of the majority of it, but yeah. With a Dalek master plan, there is still a little way to go, so there is once again talk of how to produce a release to fill in the gaps. In the meantime, it's just nice that it will be on iPlayer so it can be once again seen and enjoyed by the humble licensed player.
Yes.
Pay up. Yeah. Except for Adam.
Only pay when Doctor Who's on TV. Christmas time, I'll resub. Yep.
Starfleet Academy, and I keeps calling it Star Trek Academy, was a total delight.
Oh, thank you.
You don't need to love everything about it, but frankly, I thought 9 out of 10 episodes were very good, and the other one was a bit filler.
Yeah, right.
I love the characters, but would have liked to have more Tilly.
Yes.
The Doctor was well used, and if you want scenery chewing, Paul Giamatti is definitely your man.
Definitely.
I could also not work out if Holly Hunter is really little, the others are really big, or if it was forced perspective. She is really that little. She's
think,
like
yeah,
5 foot
case,
five.
Case of little and big.
Mm-hmm. Little and large.
Yeah. If you actually see photos of her with Sandro, the guy who plays Caleb, they are like little and large.
She doesn't wear shoes often either, which doesn't help.
No, that doesn't help, does it?
The end of the season put a bow on what had become before, and spoiler, no cliffhanger.
Mm.
We may never get a season 3 of Prodigy, but Academy, as one of Trek's better first seasons, deserves some space to grow. Finally, talk of animated Firefly. It could work, but even if nothing else comes of it, the Nathan Fillion teasers are well worth it in themselves.
Definitely.
All the best, Andrew Scott, Leicester, the home of hidden things.
Oh. And so all I have very to say good. Is about the Firefly teasers, the meaningful nodding.
Yes.
Yes, yes indeed.
Yeah. Mm.
That's a lot of fun. And of course, this all was officially announced on a convention panel.
Yes.
Which you can watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
The little cue cards he gave to all of the cast. Right, we have a bit of audio feedback here from Michael the Tin Dog.
Oh, Tinny!
Hello. Hello. Message from Michael, host of the Tin Dog Podcast.
Hello,
Tin.
Can
you believe that we've almost been at this 20 years?
Oh, God.
We were all so much younger and so much more naive when we started this.
Yes.
I just thought I'd give you a message, a nice bit of audio feedback. First off, this is the third time I've tried recording this. The first time, I sounded what I can only describe as drunk. The second time, I was recording this while driving back from Newcastle, and the sound levels were all over the place, and you could hear the motor of the car. I did sound, however, less drunk, but it was completely garbled and completely incapable of sending it. However, I thought, no, third time lucky, let's do this. So, hello.
Hello.
Hope you're
hello.
All fine. Oh, hang on.
Hello.
Hello, Head of Pertwee. Hello, well, random Moomins. Nope, that sounds questionable. Let's leave it there. All I wanted to say was, as you know, the last few months haven't been brilliant fun, but I have been driving from where I am in Yorkshire up to see my parents in Newcastle.
Okay.
And you, Radio Free Scar, and a host of other podcasts have just kind of kept me going. Because as other people have said, some of us don't have friends. Well, no, we've got friends, but you know what I mean? They're not like close by
here.
Or we don't get to talk. And as you get older, you know, your friends kind of move away. So, hey, kids, if you've got friends, look after them.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that you and the other podcasts are our community. You are our friends. And you lot talking about just random stuff really helps us, gets us through. So thank you for that. I also wanted to thank you specifically for talking about Stranger Things.
Oh.
Now, What happened to me was Stranger Things Series 1 was on, what, a decade ago?
Yes.
And I thought, hey, I might like this. And everyone on the internet, you know, remember Twitter when the internet was a nicer place?
Yeah.
And everyone said, hey, this is good. You might enjoy this. And I was like, right, I'll do that. And then I went, hang on, it's on Netflix. Netflix notorious for cancelling things. So I'm not going to watch it because it might get cancelled. And if it gets to the end and there's a proper ending, I'll then watch it.
Oh, okay. So smart.
You were talking about it. And I went, you know what? I've not watched it yet. So this Christmas, after you talked about, well, to be fair, I actually pressed stop on the playback for that particular episode.
Yep.
Well, those two, so that I wouldn't get spoilers.
Yeah.
Me and my family sat down and we watched all of Stranger Things straight through.
Oh,
and yes, I reviewed them as part of the podcast. But what I want to say was thanks for reminding me it was there because I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I went back and I listened to you lot all chat about it. And you know what? You were just right. It was great. So thanks for that. That's it, really. I'm sure there's more stuff I could talk about. I mean, let's face it, what else has there been? There's been the Blu-ray release of, McGann. I can't believe that I've shelled out for a Steelbook. I haven't got a 4K player. What was I thinking? I can't even get it signed. It's a Steelbook. The signature will rub off. Maybe I should cancel that and just get the ordinary Blu-ray. What else? Oh, yeah, there's been a couple of episodes found. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah,
we'll get to watch them. Admittedly, they won't be available to, like, own or anything, but, you know, I'm sure we can all find ways around that.
Yes.
But it's two episodes of the Daleks Master Plan. We never thought we'd get those back.
No.
And what else has happened? Well, yeah, it doesn't really matter. What does matter is, oh, yeah, and of course, the big news was Yanto's shrine, but let's not go down that road. I never got to see it, but it was just nice knowing it was there. Right.
So we're a couple of weeks.
Like I said, I just thought I'd message you and say thanks for all your hard work. And it's just nice that some people like us have just kept going after all these years.
Yeah.
Right. I'll let you get back to, you know, talking about TV and stuff. Yeah. Until next time. Be seeing you.
Bye. Right.
Thanks, you. Jim.
Well, he'll be pleased to hear about the Blu-ray of Stranger Things, won't he?
What you have to realise is we wanted to stop this ages ago. He just won't let us out.
No, no, no. One of you at a time. But the others were hostage, so they come back.
Gotta come back.
if I laugh, he doesn't hurt me.
what he was saying about Stranger Things is one of the glorious things we happened to me recently was Karen finally watched all of Babylon 5.
Has she seen the final season yet?
She's seen the final season.
Oh, and, good, okay. And, she's holding off on that.
Now, what was glorious for me is I could live vicariously through her watching it again for the first time.
We did do commentaries on those, but that's been quite a few years since we've seen those. And those were only select episodes.
Yeah, watching the Coming of the Shadows and seeing her bounce up and down and say, did you see? Did you? Yes.
Yeah. I think that's how I was with the Babylon 5. Yeah. I think I missed the first series, joined at 2, and then every time the shadows turned up, I was like, oh my God, this is great.
But that's when Tin watching Stranger Things right from the beginning and pick, you know, all the little bits, you can live vicariously through other people.
Yeah, as you mentioned, he covers it on his podcast.
Yeah.
A season at a time.
Yeah.
Really worth catching. Very, very good kind of roundups of his thoughts on each season. Yeah. But of course, if anybody else wants to write feedback to us,
how should they do that?
A note in a bottle.
Note in a bottle.
Yeah. Stamped address envelope.
Piece of paper tied to a pigeon.
Just chisel it in the side of the house while we're out.
Yes. Yeah.
Rock through the window.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Or perhaps.
Or maybe an email.
Yeah. And who should they send that email to?
Maybe show.
At.
Staggering.
Stories.
Dot.
Net.
Woohoo.
You don't have to include the woohoo on the email address.
Probably won't work.
Yeah.
Is there a TLD of woohoo? Probably not.
Probably not.
There's a lot of them now.
There's a lot of them now, but woohoo is not one of them.
Okay. Well, who's going to lead us
out? Okay. Yes, well, and so that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
But never fear, next time there'll be more of the same. More fun frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who, old and new. So until that...
A for Academy.
Absolute.
Ascension.
Atrocious.
Amazingly.
Agnostically.
Comes
acclimating,
ambling,
agilely,
towards
like
us. This is me, Jay, saying cheerio.
Goodbye.
So long.
Most people think the speed of light is the fastest thing ever. but wherever light goes, it finds darkness waiting for it.
Mysterious. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 494, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Jay Duran, Keith Dunn, and Scott Fuller. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this is an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net. So everyone else is finding missing episodes. It's our turn. There must be something down here.
Yeah.
But first, a moment of silence.
Yep.
For those who are not here. No giggling in this play. It only seems to be when Karen's here, doesn't
yeah.
it?
And isn't it remarkable? You want to, got to be silent, you have to be quiet, and then your nose starts fizzing and you want to cough.
I get the blood pounding through my ears as I struggle for oxygen.
For the record...
Wow, he swallowed a lot.
Well, don't about him.
He once complained that he could hear someone swallowing.
That was next door, but that's another matter.
Here, let's wipe the dust off a bit.
What is it?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. We didn't think that far.
Does anyone know how to get out of this skit?
Right. So we basically got lost in the basement and forgot what we were there for.
Yep.
Went on quite a while there. Okay.
Right. Doctor Who's not going to be easy to review either, is it?
No.
Effectively multiple stories within one.
I mean, despite the fact there's only four of us, this might end up being a long episode.
Yeah. Cut one of us out altogether and mute one of our mics.
Well, we already said that Karen might cut Keith out anyway, so...
You'll have to give us a list of others you haven't watched from the Black and White era.
A lot.
Okay.
I've got to admit, I have shied away from the Hartnells and the Pat Troughtons.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've watched them to death.
No.
I know even the non-existing ones in the archive off by heart. That's it. Jam it in that tin dog.
Jam it in there and let it buzz away.
Do you want, just want to make us to make encouraging noises and then you'll play it? Ooh.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
definitely, definitely. Mm.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Well said, sir.
No, I don't think that's right. So you don't have to worry about Karen editing you out this time?
No, not this time.
Yeah.
Because Adam will do it for her.
Yes. Yeah.